This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. We're finally past the Tisha B'Av moment. And a few things kind of occupied my thoughts over the weekend, and particularly with the fact that we had Tisha B'Av. First of all, because it's been so long ago, I think it was already Friday, that Steve Witkoff and U.S. ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, visited Gaza. They were taken into Khan Yunis under the protection of the IDF, and they visited one of the food distribution centers for Gaza Humanitarian Fund. And that is the place where most of the deaths are being attributed to. When we see the Gaza Health Ministry announce the number of people who've been killed, there always seems to be dozens of people who have been killed at these food distribution centers. And yet, when Mike Huckabee and Steve Witkoff visited, they saw absolutely no evidence of that. And the amount of misinformation, disinformation, the number of lies that are being propagated and being confirmed and published by the established press is just astonishing. There seems to be no desire to fact check anything. If Gaza Health Ministry says that people were killed at these food distribution centers, then that must be correct, obviously. And so the reality of what they saw was an entirely different story from what we're being told in the press. And even so, and even though they made their views clear and they've published it and they've tweeted and they've done whatever they can in order to publicize what they've seen, it just seems that it's not being carried because it doesn't support the narrative. And as we were going through Tisha B'Av yesterday, I was thinking to myself that, you know, we've spoken a lot about the similarities that we feel, the amount of connectedness that we feel to the events of Tisha B'Av, given what we are enduring right now in Israel and indeed in the Jewish world in general. And there are certainly some common themes. The common theme that people like to bring out is this whole theme of sinat chinam, the whole idea of hatred without reason, the term that's used for internal divisiveness, the clashes that we have internally within the Jewish people and the hatred that that generates. And my view on sinat chinam, or let's say more specifically, disagreements that we have internally, is that I'm actually okay with having disagreements. I don't think that we need to support a common view right across the nation. That I think that potentially would be a problem. I'm quite in favor of having disagreements and differing views. What I do feel is two things. First of all, the way in which you respect other people who have a differing view is really important. It's not only about holding a different view, but how you express it and how you entertain the views of others. And in the end, how you respect the will of the majority, if there is such a thing, even if that might not be your will, it might not support your view, then there is a certain respect that one needs to give for the will of the majority. And I think the other important thing is that when we have our internal disagreements, they tend to take our eye off the ball. And the ball is an enemy that is lurking out there trying to take advantage of our internal divisiveness. And I think therein lies the potential danger. The most significant danger is this whole idea of not taking notice of those who wish to destroy us while we are fighting our internal battles. And of course, we can try and put that onto what we've experienced over the last 2 years and think about that. The other enduring theme of Tisha B'Av is this one of destruction. The temples were destroyed and other things have been destroyed. The various layers of destruction that the Jewish people have endured over the centuries and the destruction that we felt now. And then we talk a lot about the destruction of Jerusalem. And then we see the current city of Jerusalem, and it doesn't look destroyed at all. It kind of doesn't speak to that narrative. And in fact, there are some people who've chosen to alter very, very slightly one of the key prayers that are made or that are said on Tisha B'Av, which talks about the destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the city of Jerusalem. And they've added in the word, the destroyed city that was, not the current destroyed city, but that was. And I think that for me, the optimism that I felt from Jerusalem and the number of people who descended upon Jerusalem yesterday for Tisha B'Av, some of whom were more vocal than others, some of whom ascended the Temple Mount and made lots of statements, but whatever it was, there was a certain atmosphere in Jerusalem yesterday with so many people going there for the occasion of Tisha B'Av in order to show that exactly the opposite is true of what we read about in the Kinnot and in the prayers about all this destruction that we've endured. Because when you see the current city of Jerusalem, even in the war and even under current stresses, it is a vibrant city. It is a city which is the capital of the state of Israel. It is a city that supports all of those who wish to come and worship there. It is the city which is the capital of all the monotheistic religions. And I think there is a certain optimism that we can generally derive today in the day after Tisha B'Av from what we see and feel and experience in Jerusalem. And in spite of all the troubles that we are currently going through, I very much encourage people who haven't done it before, come to the city of Jerusalem. There is something very, very unique about it. And I know how you had your own views about the last time you visited Jerusalem and some ambivalence about how you felt being there. But you can't replace that atmosphere and the feeling, the special nature that Jerusalem presents to us.
After Hamas released the harrowing pictures and videos of the hostages, Prime Minister Netanyahu has vowed to undertake a military exercise to free them. This obviously is a significant shift, it would seem, in strategy.
Well, I think it is something of a shift of strategy. And let's just try and play out the events of the past few days. And let's understand what's going on in terms of what Hamas is trying to do to us in order to try and confuse us a little bit and to use our internal divisions for their own benefit. So Israel has said quite unequivocally that there are two main objectives of this war that is ongoing it doesn't seem to be coming to an end anytime soon, despite the fact that we are already on day 668 of the current war, which is just astonishing to think about. But the two objectives that Israel has laid down are very, very simple. One, to release our hostages, and two, to destroy Hamas. Those are the two the two objectives that Israel has laid down. And they are entirely defensible. And in spite of the fact that the world seems to be questioning each and everything that Israel wishes to do and each and every word that comes from the mouths of Israel and its leaders, those two objectives, I think, could be understood by any logical person who is viewing this with any level of objectivity. You don't have to take a view one way or the other. So those are the two objectives. However, as we already know, those two objectives at times seem to contradict each other. They seem to draw us into having to choose between one or the other. And Hamas has really done an extremely good job over the weekend by exploiting that. And what have they done? They've taken the announcements by the various countries around the world saying that they plan to recognize a Palestinian state in the near future. And Hamas, one of the senior leaders of Hamas in Gaza, Ghazi Hamad, has said the following. He said, the recognition of a Palestinian state is one of the fruits of October the 7th. So he is using this idea that the world is going to support the establishment of a Palestinian state as being an achievement of their objectives, or one of the objectives of October the 7th. And that would effectively hand to Hamas a major, major victory. Not only does it hand them a victory, but it also allows them to stay in power. And that's really what that statement is all about, that this recognition by the international community will allow Hamas to stay in power. Then what Hamas has done as a separate exercise is released these very harrowing videos and pictures of our hostages in Gaza who are emaciated and who are looking just absolutely dreadful. And one cannot even bring oneself to look at those pictures that are so dreadful to look at. And you see that and you say, well, they're playing us off. On the one hand, they're playing off this idea of Hamas remaining in power because the world is recognizing a Palestinian state. And then they're teasing us, goading us with these horrendous pictures of the hostages in those tunnels and encouraging us to somehow try to take action, to do something to release them. And so I think it became incumbent upon the prime ministers to say, we can't wait any longer. 668 days are enough, and we can't allow our hostages to languish in Gaza any further. Not another day, not another hour. The state is just horrendous. One hostage is being forced to dig his own grave in the tunnel, and he says, I'm digging my grave. And he is so emaciated that he can hardly hold the shovel that he's using to dig a grave. That surely is just not acceptable. And even though the international community is going to say, oh, that's not okay, not acceptable, many of them have forgotten to add that when they see the hand of that Hamas individual handing the hostage something, the hand that hands the food is muscled and well-fed, and no signs of starvation. And the Israeli hostage who's reaching out is so emaciated that they are simply skin and bone. And then the world says, starvation in Gaza. Who's starving in Gaza? I'll tell you who's starving in Gaza. Israeli hostages are starving in Gaza. The people who are looking after them are definitely not starving in Gaza. Of that you can be absolutely sure. And so Hamas says, well, we'll allow the International Red Cross to visit them. That's a statement after 668 days. But we remember when Hamas said, send us food and send us medication packages and we'll give them to the hostages. And then the medication packages were found lying around the hospital in Gaza many, many months later. They didn't go anywhere. So this idea of allowing the International Red Cross in is just another attempt to somehow try to play with Israel's psychological makeup.
So now, this is what... Carry on, Kara Howard,
I'll stop for a moment and allow you to jump in.
What I find so strange is obviously he's not digging his own grave because Hamas doesn't care whether he's buried or not, if God forbid he dies. So it is very, very much designed to torment the families, to torment Israelis, Jews, and anyone who cares about Israel. That whole the way in which he looked is, and they didn't need to release anything. They did it deliberately in order to do so. But what bothers me, and I'm really, really struggling with, is that they took. You would have thought that Hamas were taking a massive risk by releasing that video. It could have effectively turned supporters around the world away from them. And yet somehow they knew that it wouldn't. And it didn't.
They do know. They do know, because when the world leaders say we're going to recognize a Palestinian state, they don't say, look, we really believe in a Palestinian state. We're going to recognize it right now because that's the good time. Palestinians deserve a state. No. What the world leaders say is we will recognize it at the UN General Assembly because that's supposed to be a stick. It's supposed to be a threat to Israel that if by the time we get to the UN General Assembly, something doesn't happen, then we will recognize a Palestinian state. But let's all be honest. The recognition of a Palestinian state, even though that Ghazi Hamad says that that is one of the fruits of October the 7th, one shouldn't believe for a moment or kid yourself to believe that that is one of the objectives of Hamas. It's not. They've had their own state since 2005, where they've had Gaza. They've ruled over Gaza. That is effectively been their own state since then. But that's not enough for them. What they're looking for is more recognition from the international community and more tools to allow them to carry out their ultimate objective. And the ultimate objective was stated over and over again. And the ultimate objective is, given another chance, we will carry out October the 7th again and again and again. That really is the objective. The Palestinian state is just a tool. It's just support from the international community. It's just a way of them creating a base for themselves. It's a way of them being able to arm themselves along our border and dig more tunnels and get ready for the next moment that they're going to attack us, because the attack and the destruction of Israel is their ultimate objective. The Palestinian state helps them. But to be honest, they don't really care much about it because they have Gaza and they know that Israel is highly unlikely to want to take control over ruling over Gaza. So that will then still continue to be their base, whether it is recognized or not. And the idea of recognizing a state that doesn't exist, with a government that doesn't exist, with a territory that doesn't exist, is just a really, really crazy and unexplainable idea, and simply reinforces my view and the view of many others that the whole purpose of them recognizing a state is to try to beat Israel rather than to really come to the humanitarian assistance of the Palestinian people. They don't really care much about that. What they're trying to do is now use it as a stick to beat Israel and to somehow send a message to their own population, to their own electorate, to say, you see, we've done the right thing. So when the next election comes up, you know what to do.
Anthony Reich, thank you. As always, that was the Israel Report. I'm Howard Feldman. You can catch Anthony Reich tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.